What's good? We are back. Triple P, Paul Pickett Podcast. Should be having a guest on any second. Got my man, Mr. Jones, coming on. Just waiting for him to pop up down below. And since he hasn't yet, let's go ahead and plug in a Dizzle brand commercial.
Me and my team will never be link up. They wanna be drink up. We sit and relax and have few glasses. When there's things to think about, like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the bars and I'm not talking drink ups. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting list, another waiting for that tropical twist that'll tickle your taste buds. Now taste some. Yo, I insist it's the
I really mean it. That was Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur. You heard the great Chip Fu from Fu Snickens. We see my man down there, Mr. Jones. We about to bring him in. All right, here we go. Jonesy, what's up?
Man, just lounging, man. Fading on to Raleigh. And I got to give you your props, man. You're one of the best, man. You know, you was in the trailer park. I don't think cats know your story like that. So, you know, one day you need to kick your story, but you won the best, man.
Appreciate that. Musical Court and Lyric Lane, man, even though they tore down my street sign.
Hey, yo, look at the name of where you lived at. Wow, it's dope. So, thanks for the invite, man.
That's what's up. And this camera actually looks better than the last one. What do you want, the cell phone this time?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
My left hand is holding the phone and my right hand is just like, you know, and I got headphones on, so it is.
I know you say you want to do politics, so let's start with our Charlotte Hornets. What's we going to lose LaMelo? I mean, what's the deal here? What do you think is going to happen? What needs to happen?
My brother, can I say one thing? Michael Jordan is cheap. Michael Jordan is cheap.
You hear that, Michael Jeffrey Jordan?
And I love Michael Jordan, like everybody.
Everybody want to be like Mike.
Michael Jordan is cheap. As soon as cats start showing their worth, Michael Jordan trades them. I've seen it with my own eyes. Like, I don't know.
You think he does that with LaMelo, though?
I think that Michael Jordan needs to be careful with LaMelo. I think he needs to keep him. I think he needs to build a team around him. But at the same time, Michael Jordan is still Michael Jordan. This dude's probably going to trade LaMelo, like Larry Johnson. Man, we'd have had it all in Charlotte. We'd have had it all. We had Larry Johnson. We had what's my man?
Lonzo Mourning.
Where he went?
Dale Curry, Muggsy Bogues, man. Glenn Rice.
God, man.
You know, we've had Baron Davis, but I don't know if. As much as I love Larry Johnson, and he was the number one pick, right. I don't know if he is a generational talent that LaMelo can be.
He is a generational talent.
Who, LaMelo or Larry?
Larry. What do you?
But, we lost Mr. Jones there. Let's see if he comes back in. It looks like we. There you are. We lost you for a second.
Yeah, somebody was calling me.
So you think Larry Johnson was a generational talent? I really don't think he was.
I think he was, man. No. I mean, look at the New York Knicks. You know, they had people like John Starks. They had people like, I can't remember my man's name right now, but he was good. Like, Larry Johnson was different.
How good would the Hornets be if LaMelo had a Lonzo Mourning?
man, ask yourself that question. Do you hear that? That would be amazing.
Larry Johnson had an Alonzo Mourning, you know, and Alonzo Mourning was like a number two pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, look, man. All I'm saying is Michael Jordan owns the team, and Michael Jordan is cheap.
He is cheap, but he didn't own him when Larry Johnson was playing, though, so we can't really throw that on him.
Yeah, but he still traded off.
Kimba, it's really Kimba Walker and a couple other cats that he just said. Nah, but I think the Kimba Walker was smart, though, because as soon as he went to Boston, it went downhill. So that was actually, to me, the smartest move that Jordan ever made was not giving Kimba the bag. And now we got LaMelo. But now that we got LaMelo, you got to give him the bag. And we got PJ Washington.
Right. You talking my language. You talking my language now.
You got to get him the bag. You have to get him the bag.
Here's the thing, Paul. Here's the thing. Is Mike going to give LaMelo his money?
You got to, man.
He might not, though. He's showing and proved that he's not going to pay nobody. He's shown it, man. He's done it. It's like, damn, Mike, what are you doing? And then you look up and you see the playoffs and you see 3-4 people from the Hornets in the playoffs with other teams. Come on, Mike. He got to do something, man. He got to correct this.
If Michael Jordan, if he doesn't give, I don't either, because if he doesn't give LaMelo the bag, he needs to sell the team. He needs to sell the team and let somebody else have it.
He's not going to do that, Paul. He's not going to do that. He's Michael Jordan. And he's an owner.
Yeah, but you know, I understand we're classified as a small market, right?
We are. Yeah, we are. And I say we because we live in North Carolina. Yes.
But small market teams, they got to win by drafting typically, right?
But if you're a whole team, you need to build a fucking team. My bad for cussing.
You can cuss in here.
You need to build a team and build a team and keep moving forward. Man, there's been too many times in Charlotte that we've had one of the best players ever. And then the team is owned by one of the best players ever. He trades them. He gets rid of them. He's like, oh, snap. Oh, you want $30 million a year? I know you helped us win, but I'm going to send you to Dallas. I'm going to send you to Atlanta. I'm going to send you to New York. And those cats go to the playoffs with them teams.
I get where you're coming from, but I might want to give him the benefit of the doubt for this reason. Okay, do you agree LaMelo Ball is probably the biggest generational name we've ever drafted?
Yeah, I do.
So up to that point, nope, we haven't had no real superstars that really deserve the $30 million a year. Is that safe to say?
No.
Kimba Walker wasn't a superstar. He was an all-star.
But we had Larry Johnson. We had Alonzo Mourning.
But Jordan didn't own the team then.
He was still playing.
Jordan was still playing then.
Cool.
You can't really throw that on him. You gotta throw it on when the Bobcats, when we had the Bobcats.
What has Michael Jordan done with the best players on the team? Did he build around them, or when the paycheck went up, he got rid of them?
Well, I would argue that up until we drafted LaMelo Ball, they've always screwed up with the drafting, and they've never really had a good enough player to. And we drafted Cody Zeller, we drafted Michael Kidd Gilchrist, drafted what was that dude, Adam Morrison. You know, we've drafted some bums, man, bums, dudes that were literally. I mean, Michael Kidd Gilchrist got traded to Dallas, and he was literally out the league after that. Adam Morrison was out the league in a couple years. The Cody Zeller's still. I mean, he was a decent pro, and I think he might be at Portland, but he's about to be out the league, man.
But what happened when they was at Charlotte, though? That's all I'm saying.
They weren't really that great.
No, They didn't have no team built around them.
Well, I would argue that they've always been terrible in the draft. And then finally we got it right. Finally we got it right when we drafted Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, and LaMelo Ball. But this is a new situation for us. We finally got it right. Now that we finally get it right, are you going to keep it together?
All right. First of all,
and it doesn't help that Miles Bridges got the issue going on with his girl either. Too that's hurting us too.
First of all, your last sentence was, "Are we going to keep it together?"
Yeah.
And
now that we've got it right,
but who's responsible for keeping it together?
Jordan and the general manager.
There you go, Paul. Man, you got me sitting.
But this is the thing we don't know though. Does Jordan just sit back and let his general manager do most of the work?
God, I don't know. Mike might wake up in the morning and be like, you know what?
He might be too concerned with playing golf. We don't know that he really is like putting how much input he's really putting into this nowadays.
You know what? I think a lot of people will hate this, but I just got to say it because I think about it in my everyday life. Is Michael Jordan really a good owner?
No.
A team?
No. I don't know that he's a good talent evaluator.
Let's go down the list. Scoring points? Yes. MVP? Yes. A champion? Yes. Selling shoes? Yes.
Defensive player of the year? Yes.
Owning the team?
He's not a great talent evaluator, it seems like.
I think Mike wants to be on the court. He still wants to play. He wants to be like Tom Brady. Michael Jordan wants to be like 47 and
still. Well, I think he's 50 and he can still dunk. So
yeah, but the man, you put. I'm not trying to do this to Mike. I love Michael Jordan, but
he's failed us. He's failed us as an owner. We have to admit that.
Not a play. I'm glad you said that. Not a player. But an owner.
Yeah, as an owner, he's failed us. He's failed North Carolina fans. I mean, we loved the Hornets when there was Larry Johnson and Muggsy, and we were diehard. And when they got rid of them, we were pissed. We were pissed. And then they gave us the Bobcats. We don't even got Bobcats, but up there in the mountains were useless in Turtle Island off the mountain men and shit. You know, it's like. Who sees Bobcats in North Carolina? So, nobody.
So here's my thing, Paul. Here's my thing. You know, I'm a homeboy. I live here. I live in the state. I want to see the Hornets be great. But what I've seen is that we have had great players for the Hornets and for the Bobcats. We've had great players. But they always get traded off.
I would argue we've only had real good players or good players. I wouldn't say they were great.
Paul, what happened?
There was no superstars with the Bobcats.
I'm just asking a question. I'm asking a question, Paul. What happened when Alonzo Mourning went to Miami? What happened? What did he get?
A ring, but as a backup.
He won a championship.
But he wasn't the guy. He was a backup center to Shaq, who was
everybody's
the second
not,
guy.
Everybody's not supposed to be the guy. Everybody's not supposed to be the guy. You only got one Magic Johnson. You only have one Michael Jordan. You only have one.
But would we agree that all-stars and superstars are two different things? Like a great all-stars are not necessarily like super great players, like LeBron's a superstar, Durant's a superstar, but when you get the cats like Trae Young and stuff, they're really just all stars.
Well, you know what? First of all, to answer your question, I agree with you, but I've never seen a superstar that didn't need a team. Magic Johnson needed AC Green, he needed Byron Scott, he needed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Magic Johnson did not.
But I'm arguing that we haven't had that level of player ever at our team. That's what I would argue, that the Bobcats and the Hornets have never had a LeBron James, a Magic Johnson, a Kevin Durant, a Steph Curry level type player. And right now we have it with LaMelo, and this is new territory. It's new territory. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to just give in?
Build around them. Yeah. Build around them. If they don't build around them, LaMelo is going to be in New York. That's what's going
to
happen.
I honestly think it's time to trade Gordon Hayward. Get rid of him. Terry Rozier is a little overpaid. We need to go after Victor Wembanyama, the 7'2" center coming in that plays like Kevin Durant. We're like literally top three in the sweepstakes to get him. So like we need to just trade. Well, trade guys.
Here's my thing, Paul.
Give up the season,
Paul. Here's my thing.
And even if we get Scoot Henderson, Paul, I mean,
my thing is it comes down to the ownership. I don't trust the ownership. People can wake up in the morning and be like, yo, I got the new Jordans. I got the throwback Jordans. Do you know what today Jordan is doing? Today Jordan will trade the number one player on the team. I don't trust the ownership. I just don't.
I think we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. This time, if he actually gives LaMelo the bag, I think it could be a new day for Charlotte. I think we got to wait to see if he gives LaMelo the bag. Because I still don't think that we've had a player that deserved to get the bag, the bag, the superstar bag.
But
you keep saying Larry Johnson, but Michael Jordan didn't own it, Larry Johnson.
Yeah, and I'm saying Michael Jordan is here right now. Does he want – because you know what it takes to keep LaMelo. You know what it takes.
We got to give it back.
It's going to – yeah, exactly. Exactly.
If not, somebody else is going to give him the bag.
That's what I'm saying.
Same thing with Joe Burrow. Like, Bengals over there, like, oh, you know, Tom Brady took a pay cut. Patrick Mahomeboy took a pay cut. You should take a pay cut, but – you know, if you don't give these cats the bag that, you know, we know deserve the bag, somebody's going to give them the bag.
Somebody's going to give it to them.
And it'll be a bigger market that'll give LaMelo Ball the bag. It'll be a bigger market like New York's Knicks, or they'll be doing this. This is what they'll be doing. Like, oh, they can get LaMelo. They'll be licking their chops. Licking their chops at the chance to get LaMelo Ball in New York City.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like it comes down to ownership. So if Michael Jordan as an owner be like, you know what, he wants too much. Michael Jordan can blink. He'd be just like this. Blink. And guess what happens? LaMelo was in Houston having a good time. Just bombing, you know? So it was like, man, Michael Jordan is cheap, man. Hey, yo, Mike, I love you. I never wore a pair of your shoes, but I love you, man. UNC, all that shit. Look at my headphones. But, man, Michael Jordan is a cheap-ass owner, man. He is not going to pay cats. He's not. He's going to trade them off. And you're going to see the best players on the Hornets. They're going to be in the playoffs or championship with another team. That's what always happens. Until Michael Jordan, as the owner, gets it right, that's what we're going to see. My bad, man. I need to talk.
You good? No, it's good. And you know, we don't want to totally shit on Mike, you know, because we don't think LeBron is better than Mike or anything of that nature. But
hey, yo, man, I'm tired of that conversation.
And let's switch it up, though.
You know, piece of everybody that go to the barbershop, don't bring that up. Oh, LeBron and Mike. Cut it out.
We're going to switch it up, though. We're going to go to hip-hop. I want to talk about the greatest reinventions in hip-hop. Who do you think has had the greatest reinventions in hip-hop? Started with, like, one of the first greatest reinventions that you could think of.
What do you mean by reinvention?
For example, Everlast, when he did Whitey Ford, that was a reinvention.
Oh, you're talking about, like, doing something and then doing something else.
Or just changing your whole sound. Like, Master Ace, if you listen to his second album to where his sound is now, it was a reinvention.
Master Ace is one of my favorites.
He invented his sound. You know, he was maybe twice, I think he reinvented himself from the Marley Marr days to the second album, Sitting on Chrome. from sitting on Chrome but to Long Hot Summer.
You do know that the song Sitting on Chrome, the first version with the same lyrics was Jeep Ass Nigga. He took Jeep Ass Nigga and turned into, you know, and that shit blew up.
Fortunately, Jones, I can't say that song title the way you said it. I have to say Jeep Ass N-word. Hey, yo, or they'll cancel my podcast.
Piece of Sean Price, man.
But no, like, so you get where I'm going? Greatest reinventions in hip hop. Who you think?
Greatest reinvention.
I think Everlast is one. I think, Master Ace is one.
Oh, man.
Eminem?
Well, Eminem is different. Because Eminem didn't like, you know what? Man, the songs Eminem did, where he's singing like the hook, I really don't like them joints.
I don't either.
Not my joint. But you know what Eminem did? He did something that Run DMC did, and he actually did it better. Run DMC did a movie, but not everybody was going to the theater to see it. But when Eminem did the 8 Mile movie, man, Paul, let me tell you, everybody left the house. Everybody was paying money. And guess what? It was money well spent. So I got to give it to Eminem. I give it to Eminem. He went from the studio to the silver screen.
He reinvented his whole style and his sound, though, when he left from Dr. Dre's production. Like,
man, look, man,
the old Eminem and the now Eminem is two different ballparks, you know.
Man, look, man, I got to smoke, but I'm not going to smoke on your show, you know.
Keep smoke it right
what? For the kids. Black and mild.
You good?
But let me tell you, a lot of people, they love Lose Yourself. They love Lose Yourself.
I like Lose Yourself.
My favorite song of that soundtrack is 8 Mile Road. I love that song. I love that shit. I love how the beat just... And I'm into my rope, and I'm into my rope. I'm like, oh shit, like this dude, like, you know, he was on to something.
I got another reinvention for you. I think one of the greatest, Joey Crack.
And I'm about to smoke my Black and Mild live.
Yeah, Joey Crack.
Man, I love Fat Joe from the beginning. You know, you got a flow, Joe. You got it. But man, I didn't really like the after Big Pun death Fat Joe. I didn't like.
So you didn't like Lean Back and all that?
Lean Back works. Lean Back is good. Even Roy Jones is forced to lean back.
I always felt like Fat Joe was the prime example of how an artist can be mainstream and underground at the same time without losing any fan base.
It does. You're right.
I got another one for you. Outkast. The first Outkast album to the second was like, the first one was like, all the players came from far and wide. And then the next one, they were
braids. Yeah.
They were like, I used to call it Atlians. I pronounced it right. Wrong, I mean.
It was Atlians.
I used to call it Atlians when I first heard that, saw the album. I was like, Atlians.
You was young. I forgive you.
Yeah. And I was thinking like aliens and outer space, you know.
Are you alien?
I thought it was one of the greatest reinventions ever. Outkast, Atlians from the first album.
You think they reinvented themselves?
Yep.
I think they was keeping the course. I think they was.
I don't think it was. The image changed. The sound changed. I mean, it was on some like really Cadillac player music. To get up, get out, and get something. All that stuff had a certain sound to it, you know? And then that second album, it was just like they really did what they wanted to do, man. It's like they, it's like the first album was like for the labels, and then the second album was for like us, you know, as artists, individual artists.
Well, you know what?
I mean, and the impact of the album was big at that time. AT Aliens.
I think, man, and
everybody's bumping that.
I'm only thinking because I don't know Andre, I don't know Big Boy, but by the second album, I think they figured out that he needs to be him, I need to be me. But it still worked out.
Yeah, it worked out.
A lot of cats would just break up. It's like, yo, I'm trying to make music like this. Well, I'm trying to make music like this.
Well, it kept getting better because their last album was their most, their best selling, the Speaker Box or whatever I think it was.
Man, that Speaker Box album, and they did it separately.
The two solos, yeah, and nobody's ever did that. They did a group album with two solos, and which is that's reinventing. That's like you're reinventing the wheel, yo.
Hey, yo, you got one dude over here with Patti LaBelle. The song went number one. Big Boy and Patti LaBelle went number one. I don't even like that song like that, but that song went number one.
I thought Big Boy's was better though than Andre's.
Man, come on, man. Andre had more Mobb Deep. You a Mobb Deep fan?
But I love Mobb Deep.
Andre did the Prototype. I love that song. He wasn't even really rapping. It was just, you know, you are the prototype. I think I'm in love. Man, that shit sound like some Bootsy Collins shit. I was like, word. Like, damn. I didn't know you had it in you. You know? And then they did Hey Ya and the song with, man, they, I don't know. New cats can't miss.
How about the greatest modern day reinvention probably ever, right now? 2 Chainz.
What? What did he do? What did he do that classifies
He
as?
Changed his whole brand.
Man,
that's a reinvention. You changed your whole brand name. Your whole brand name.
Booty.
Come on. I don't. And you know, when you think about it, like, I always wonder where he got his name from. The Titty Boy. And you know, that was like his nickname his grandma gave him.
Yeah.
And it always made me think, like, the dude I rap with, Mr. Shitty. Like, if labels ever wanted to, sign us, they would be like, yo, dude, you got to change your name. Because the name Titty Boy wasn't really a marketable name. Titty Boy.
I'm glad you said that. I looked at the Temptations movie, and I watched an interview with Smokey Robinson. And they both said the same thing. I don't know what the Temptations name was at first, but Berry Gordy didn't like it.
It wasn't working.
He was like, come up with a different name.
Yeah.
And Smokey Robinson was the same with his group. And so they came up with the Miracles, and Berry Gordy was like, word, we'll go with the Miracles. But that's, yeah.
Names are a big part of this.
It's like, man, if your grandma and your cousins call you Titty Boy, I guess that's your family name. But you can't be out here Titty Boy for the whole public. And that ain't, you know. You can't even, like, it's like, check this out. It's like, my parents got me Run DMC and Beastie Boys for Christmas.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, Run DMC, Beastie Boys. Now, if my parents were in front of my face like, son, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, the album from Titty Boy. Who? Titty boy, don't be saying titties in my house.
Nope. Yeah, you know, it doesn't. Two Chainz sounds so much better, right?
Well, it's like, you know what, Paul?
Two Chainz.
Man, Paul, you know as well as anybody that you evolve in this
relationship. Yeah.
Your first name that you give you ain't going to be the name that you stick with. You know, if for myself, I broke it down to like, what am I going to, who am I going to call myself? Am I going to be MC Skills for the rest of my
life? MC Skills. MC Skills.
Am I going to be 50 years old and people call me, yo, MC Skills?
That was your first rap name?
Nah, my first rap name, my first rap name was actually John Nice.
John Nice. It sounded like something for the Terminator or some shit. John Connor, John Nice.
Yo, I still, yeah.
John Nice.
Yeah, because I was.
Wow, that was really simple.
I was biting off so Greg Nice.
You was nice and smooth with it.
I call myself John Nice.
Nice is funky. All the hip-hop junkies.
All I wanna
do is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, but yeah, man, like your name, it goes, man, I could be called MC Laser. MC, you know, Laser. But you gotta live with your name, man, and your name gotta grow with you, you know. But I don't know how we got here, but anyway.
Now we're talking about 2 Chainz changing his name.
Oh, word, yeah.
Because it wasn't working. Titty Boy wasn't working, and you just had to find that right name.
2 Chainz is better than Titty Boy. I promise you.
Yeah, way better.
You're going to get more props from your family. Like, yo, you know, I want the Titty Boy album. What? I want the 2 Chainz album. Okay.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't going to fly in some Christian homes, Titty Boy. Probably no religious homes, really. Another reinvention.
But peace of him, peace of his family.
Yeah.
They call him Titty Boy. That's his name with the family. But, you know.
Okay, another reinvention. Everlast. When Everlast first came out with Whitey Ford.
I'm glad you went back to that.
Before he drops Whitey Ford, right, you get Whitey Ford album. Did you buy the album?
I did.
Okay, I bought the album.
Yeah,
and
I bought that album. Yeah.
When you get to song one.
He has the Dot X on the album.
What was your take, though, before you started watching? I was sitting up thinking, like, I hope this isn't, like, just an all-alternative album.
Right.
And then when he drops the first song, the white boy is back, and then the beat changes up, I was like, oh, this ain't going to be what I thought it might be, and what I was going to be disappointed in if it was going to be. It was totally like a 50-50 deal of alternative and hip hop, and he made it work like no other.
Well, when it comes to Whitey Ford, when it comes to Everlast, with me, you got to take it back to Ice-T. That's my first time hearing Everlast. I was hearing Everlast on the radio on D103 in like the late 80s. And Ice-T had a crew called The Syndicate. And Everlast was down with The Syndicate. That's my first time hearing Everlast. And then, like about 5-6 years later, I heard House of Pain. Man, just beautiful, just great hip hop, you know. I mean, you can't be hip hop if you don't say these lyrics. If you don't say this line like once a year, you're not hip hop to me. Pack it up, pack it in.
Let me begin again. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. Now, I'm glad you brought this up with Ice-T. Okay, is it safe to say that Everlast is like one of the king of reinvention, because he was with Ice-T and he definitely reinvented himself from when he was Everlast, Ice-T, to House of Pain, because they were more like some Irish drinking cats, which was somewhat of a gimmick, but it worked. It worked.
Because they had dope music. They had dope music.
It worked. They had this Irish sound going with it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and then when you heard the second album, He was kind of on some Islam stuff.
One thing you could tell about Everlast is that he respects people. And as a white guy, I mean, check this out, man. This dude has had Sadat X from Brand Nubian on a lot of his albums.
Yeah, so well, he, the The second House of Pain and his solo album, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. He grew up around people, you know.
But he went from an Irish drinking Mick on his album and to like speaking Islam on the second. I'm part Irish, so I can say that.
Word. But he showed respect though. You know, he was like, yo, yeah. God, you're my man. You know what? This might be I don't know what people call it, self-depreciating, but it's like you and I getting down on the track, man.
Yeah.
I never feel bad getting down with you. You know, I never felt like the token black man on the mic. Nah. It's like, man, me and my brother getting down. And that's how Everlast did it as well. And this dude, he can forever say that he won a Grammy for the Whitey Ford. He went number one with House of Pain. And
they play that in every NBA basketball game. Every NBA basketball game is playing Jump Around. Every time.
But so I love Everlast, man.
Were you surprised at how amazing his alternative songs really were, though?
I wasn't surprised.
They compete with the top dogs as far as I'm concerned. If you go back and listen to those alternative records on there.
What was
that main single? I forgot how the main single went. The main alternative single. Yeah, What It's Like. How'd it go? If you really don't know what it's like or something like that.
And then, man, I knew a kid named James Vanderbane and all.
I mean, yeah, he just had the voice for it, man. He had the voice for it, yo.
Yeah, you know, I love that song and I love the album, you know, but I'm not surprised by any artist. Like, if you was to jump up and just sing for three verses, I wouldn't be surprised, but I would enjoy it because I think you would do it good. I just never heard you do it before. It's like, I never heard Everlast do that. I never heard him do it. You know, that dude, you know, pack it up, packing in, all that stuff, you know? But he did the Whitey Ford album. It was like, oh, shit. Like, he kind of singing and he rapping. And he got rhythm, you know? And he got some of the best producers in the world. And he got some of the best guest stars on the album. Like, you know, I wasn't surprised. But I was like, God damn.
He was tapping into a lot of worlds. Ice-T and them, Cypress Hill and them, the Loped Out Mexicans, Sadat X and Brand Nubian.
This dude did a song about him having a heart attack.
Oh, he did have, yeah, he did have a heart attack.
Yeah, he did. You know?
And I would think House of Pain royalties got to be looking good to this day. Just the fact that House of Pain is one of the most played hit records of hip hop history, I would say.
I mean, you know,
we'll jump around.
I feel bad because I don't know who produced the beat, but whoever produced
Wasn't it Muggs?
It's probably Muggs. But man, Paul, it's like, here's all you need. Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Yo, it's a rap. It's a fucking rap, man. It's a rap. It's like, oh, this is the joint right here. It's the joint. But word up, man.
Let's talk about, I know you ain't got all day. We're 40 minutes in, a little bit more time. New cats. Who's some of the new cats you think is going to keep this hip-hop that we love going alive? I like Cordae. I don't think he gets enough recognition, though.
You know what? Shout out to Cordae because the first time I heard about him, he did that song talking to J. Cole. And then next thing you know, I wake up and that cat is down with J. Cole. and congratulations. You know, he's about to have a baby with Naomi Osaka. You know, I was like, God damn, like this cat was just freestyling and now he's down with J. Cole and his wife or his girl is one of the number one tennis players in the world.
I didn't even know that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're about to have a baby. But New Cats, man, you know what? Funny enough, the new cats I want to talk about, they're not that new. And at the same time, they got tragedy. I'm going to be honest. I love the Migos, man. I like them. And I hate that, you know, I hate the brother went out like that. I hate that happened. But I love them cats, man. I was actually a hater. I was like, man, get out of here. Hannah Montana. I'm like, man, man, you know, what is that? And then it's like, I kept listening to them. I'm like, you know what? These cats are original. These cats are brand new, you know? It's like, no Master P. 10 bad bitches in the after me. One bad bitch is like a masterpiece. Looking for a dunk like an athlete. You know,
I'm glad you brought that up, man. I think just losing any one member of that group is one of the most tragic and biggest losses in hip hop, just because of the impact. Man. Just because the impact they really have. Like,
yeah,
when you know, when everybody starts, you know what they are to me? They're like the DOS effects of this time.
Man, everybody want to compare them to DOS effects, but they're not DOS effects, man.
Not the style. No, it's in the sense they do that because they came out and everybody started stealing their style like they did DOS effects. And that's what they're comparing. Right. That's what they're comparing. They're comparing the situation. These cats come out and everybody wants to rap like the Migos. DOS effects came out and everybody had to steal their style and they had to switch it up and shit. You know, and that's what really they're comparing. They're not saying that they sound like DOS effects or anything.
They're
comparing the situation is the same that these cats come out and everybody stole their style, man. And when everybody's stealing your style, man, you got something everybody wants.
Yeah.
You got something everybody wants.
But how come people didn't do that to everybody else, you know?
What do you mean? Steal their styles and stuff?
I didn't see people like steal EPMD style. But
much to steal though with some cats like that though, man. Like,
but they style
their rhyme patterns are really simple and basic compared to DOS FX rhyme patterns.
Who tried to copy
or Lords of the Underground or any of these cats that were out there with their stuff?
Lords of the Underground's a funny story because people accuse them of trying to sound like DOS effects. That's crazy.
But they didn't really sound like DOS effects.
They even said it in the songs. They said they thought it was DOS, but it didn't affect me. Man, anyway. All right, I'm drifting.
Who would you take out of those two duos? Who you think had the better career? Lords of the Underground or DOS FX? Whose catalog do you think? Like, that'd be a good versus, right? Lords of the Underground versus DOS FX if they ain't had it.
That would be.
If they haven't had it already? There's so many of these verses.
The way I think, always go for the people that's first. So
I would pick DOS FX.
Yeah.
Their second album alone will outdo any album with Lords of the Underground.
I mean, look, Paul.
Solid scheme production.
Imagine you minding your business. You just going to the gas station to get some chips or a soda. And you walk into the store, and all of a sudden you hear doom, 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 doom. Your next reaction is going to be riggedy bow. you're going to kick it. You're going to do it, man.
Yeah, they was on some other stuff. They was on some other shit for the mothership, right?
Yeah, man. DOS FX is just incredible. It's incredible, man. I know this is not on topic, but Onyx is incredible. When I saw that video on Rap City, it was out of nowhere. I didn't expect it.
Who's a good versus for them? Have they had a versus yet, Onyx?
Man, all I'm going to do is just kick the songs. Take him out. Bring him out dead. Shot him up. Shot a ball head. One gun, two gun, three gun, four. your mind. It's all about, and then they just get into, oh my goodness, man. Rest in peace, Jam Master Jay.
I'm trying to think of some other trios around that time would be good to go up against the Onyx in a versus.
A trio? Man. I don't know. Onyx is just Onyx.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
Man, they just Onyx, man. You know, I still think Run DMC is the best. Run DMC is the best ever. You know, there's no Onyx without Run DMC.
Because let's talk about that. You know, while you on Onyx, let's talk about something that album I think is totally underrated and overlooked. The Diary of Kirk Jones, I think it is called.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? The Diary of Kirk Jones?
Sticky.
Sticky Fingers. I thought it was one of the best storytelling albums ever. He brought his brother in super heavy on the album. I mean, he had Eminem on there with the What If I Was White joint. I mean, his subject matter was like crazy ridiculous.
He's on Eminem's first album. Remember Me? Woof. Nice.
Sticky Fingers is definitely underrated, right?
All right, we could say he's underrated, but the people that know, you know.
You know.
I mean, this dude, he was Blade before Wesley Snipes.
I get that, but I didn't expect that. That album, I didn't expect that on that album, yo.
This cat played a rapper character on New York Undercover. Sticky Fingers is groundbreaking. He's real groundbreaking.
He had a joint on there with Raw Digga and the court joint where they was in court and she was playing like the judge or some shit. That shit was so perfect, man. Cannabis, Raw Digga, Sticky Fingers, and somebody else, wow. I think.
Man.
It was Onyx. Really amazing.
Onyx is dope. Onyx is dope, man. You got Fred Drove on the what's the TV show? Like, man, get out of here.
Oh, yeah, like, with Brandy.
Yeah.
They've had a pretty good careers, Onyx had. They're pretty good careers.
Yeah.
And movies, like, music.
How many cats can say they dropped the dopest rhymes ever?
And
they were Blade. Like, I was Blade. Like, listen to Sticky Fingers. Like, imagine chilling with Sticky Fingers at a barbecue. You're like, yo, you Sticky? Like, yeah, man. What's good, Sticky? Take him out, bring him out dead. Yeah, I'm the first Blade before Wesley Snipes.
Let's touch basis on that. The rapper actors, like let's name some of the top on that. I mean, of course, number one of all time is Will Smith.
Will Smith is
number two, probably Ice Cube.
Okay, number two gets tricky because I want to bring in Heavy D. Rest in peace.
I can't put him over Ice Cube. Come on, man. Let's pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
Heavy D.
Pump the brakes, man.
Heavy D did Broadway, and he did Different World.
But that's not enough to go up against Fridays and Barbershops and Triple X and all the other shit Ice Cube did.
Ice Cube gets it.
I don't even know if I put Heavy D at number three. He might not even make the top five because you got cats like Common.
No.
Common's had a nice career, dude.
Common got roles. You gotta understand. There's a difference between making some good shit and getting a role. Common got roles. Wasn't nobody trying to see Common dunk and fall in love with Queen Latifah. Nobody liked that movie.
Who are you talking about? Oh. But he's got it. I'm just looking at his body of work and his resume.
You know what?
I'm going to name some other. You had Common, Method Man. Method Man.
All right. Throw Method Man on the list.
Your boy Sticky, Fred Rowe.
You are dipping and dodging around the number one.
Who am I forgetting?
Most Def.
Oh, but you know what?
Nah, don't do that.
Hold on, I'm looking at his resume. Right. I don't know if I will put him over.
I would.
Method Man or Common.
I would.
He hasn't done a lot lately. Now he's had some good roles. Now he did that movie with Bruce Willis. What was it like? Seven Blocks was real good. He's played in a lot of movies. He's some movies where he was like what was it?
Most Definitely the Best.
What was the one with Marky Mark?
No, that was
the car one. The car one where they were Oh man, what is it called? Where they will rob somebody with the car. They had the cars.
I don't know.
Oh man, what is it called? It was Marky Mark, Edward Norton, and Most Def, I think it was in it.
Most Def got it, man. I promise you, man. He had the HBO movie, Something the Lord Made. He did the
Never seen it.
He did a TV show with Bill Cosby, The Cosby Mysteries. I don't know. I'm gonna give it to Most Def. And plus, I feel like he's a better actor.
Most Def is what, the number one?
Yeah.
Over Will Smith and Ice Cube?
He's a strong number two.
Strong number two? If he was a strong number two, he should be getting what they're getting.
Because Will Smith got it. When he did that shit on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, when he asked Uncle Phil, he was like, how come he don't want me? I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm trying to pull up this Edward Norton movie I'm talking about.
You're going to find
Hulk Marky Mark.
And you're going to find Fight.
Hold up.
What's the name?
What's the movie I'm thinking of?
The Brad Pitt movie. Fighting Club, something like that.
Fight Club. That's not the one I'm thinking of, though.
Oh, the two Hulk.
It's also got my man is in it, Jason Statham and Marky Mark. Italian Job. Was it Most Definite?
Yeah, he was.
But I will put Ice Cube in. Now, let me ask you this.
All right.
Can Ice Cube have a chance to come up and pass Will Smith because of what happened with the Chris Rock situation? I think
No. Forget the Chris Rock situation.
Well, that's limited in his movies. He lost a lot of roles, Will Smith did.
Ice Cube got Friday with Chris Tucker, and he got Friday with
Michael Epps.
With Mike Epps, and those Fridays, they're all good. All the Fridays are good.
I'm not big on the ones that I only like the first Friday, the original.
I only like the first one.
I like all the barbershops.
See, you got
all three barbershops.
Ice Cube did Aquila and the Bee. God damn.
Jeez. You know, he did two triple X's. I mean, a lot of movies, man.
I'm still sticking with Most Def though.
And we forget one that Ice Cube did.
Akeel and the Bee.
Boys in the Hood.
Fuck. Rick.
Boys in the Hood.
Damn, y'all want to see a dead body?
Boys in the Hood. There's no way Most definitely got Ice Cube beat. No way, how, man.
I'm reworking it. Ice Cube is number one, but I'm telling you, man, Most Def is a strong number two, man.
He ain't got Will Smith beat either yet. And he probably will never pass him.
Man, I'm keeping Most Def on my list.
I think you underrating Method Man and Common and some of these other cats.
Method Man and
Common. And what about, you know what? I got another one for you. Ludacris.
No.
Shit ton of Fast and Furiouses, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, but those are famous. Most Def got
that it. Matters. Got that it. Matters. He's part of a big franchise that Most Def ain't never going to be part of.
That's what you said. You said it. He's part of a big franchise.
It doesn't matter. Most Def ain't never been the lead guy or nothing.
Most Def got a fucking movie with Bruce Willis, man. Get out of
here. But he wasn't. He was just the He's the co-star.
Oh, goodness, man. Sheesh.
Ludacris ain't not got no movies where he's a co-star. I guarantee he does. I guarantee he does.
He wasn't even a lead role in Hustle.
It wasn't
Flow.
He the co-star in
It was a good role though.
What?
Hustle and Flow.
I was about to say he is a co-star, yo. Fuck that. What was his name? Isn't that shit?
Skinny. It was Skinny.
Skinny P? Or something like that. And he also played. And he also played in Empire with my man Terrence Howard. Where he was a correctional officer giving him a hard time when he was locked up. So he's always been in the receiving end of having beef with my man in every movie role he does.
Terrence Howard, man.
Terrence Howard, who quit Hollywood, they said.
Yeah, he said he retired. Yo, check this out. Terrence Howard did a movie, and there was a female woman, sister rapper, playing a role in that movie. Do you know that movie?
What movie?
It was. I'll give you the starting lineup.
Many movies out there nowadays. You can't know them all.
That's why I'm giving you the starting lineup. The starting lineup is Lorenz Tate, Chris Tucker, Bokeem Woodbine.
I haven't seen it. I don't think.
You haven't seen it?
What is it?
I can't remember the title. It's a Vietnam movie. Hold on. I don't want to lose.
And this cat about the name, he ain't no rapper, but I got to give him a little bit of credit. Singer turned actor, Tyrese.
Oh, my bad. Dead Presidents.
I ain't seen that in so long.
Great movie, man. Great movie.
Well, they were like, ex-military, and they ended up robbing banks. Correct. Or something like that. Yeah.
But Heather B played the dude that owned.
See,
the
I would not even remember that she was even in that.
She played his daughter, and they beat the dude up, and come to find out, the dude beating him up had a fake leg, and that shit fell off. Kirby, Kirby had a fake leg, but yeah, man, you know, I don't know.
So we probably went over all the rappers turn actors. You can't name nobody else really.
MC Light been in like Tyler Perry movies and stuff.
Oh, okay. I guess it's clear to say though, Will and Ice Cube, it's between them two right now, and
Ice-T.
Ice-T. So where's he rank? I know you ain't putting Most Def over no Ice-T, man. Get the fuck out of here, man. Pump the brakes on that shit, man.
Paul Masson.
Law and Order, 20 seasons.
Paul Masson.
20,000 seasons now.
Most Def is staying on my list, man. I don't give a fuck.
Hey, I can't put them top three.
Man.
Now that you throw Ice-T out there, Ice-T was in New Jack City. Law and Order, like 25 years, like half of my life. What else am I missing with Ice-T that he was in? I got you.
The Charles Dutton movie.
The one where he was homeless and they were hunting him? Is that one? That's what I was thinking of. I couldn't think of it. That was exactly what I was about to think of. That was the bomb, yo. The black dude they called the Rock. The bald-headed dude. He played Rock, remember? Oh, look like we lost Mr. Jones. Well, that's a wrap. Once again, thank you for tuning in, Paul Pinker Podcast, and I'm out.